Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We got a couple more text messages, and I'll jump right into the dippers. Thomas from Athens. It was good to see Thomas yesterday, too. He says, Colonel, it was great to hear your witness to our military needs at Athens and to finally meet you. And then he mentions Charlene and Caitlin and her husband. That's my son-in-law. Beautiful family and right-siders all the way. Yes, they are indeed. May God bless you all and your ruffians out there. Thank you, Thomas. It was great to see you as well. That was one of the first people that I ran into when I got there yesterday was Thomas from Athens. By the way, I still can't get past that. That's one of the coolest things in the world when I'm out and about and I get to meet somebody that says, hey, because, you know, radio, I'm not seeing face-to-face. I'm the voice on the other end of a microphone. And some of y'all are texting or calling, or for that matter, maybe you're just listening. And then to run into you in person, it just really brings it all around, makes it all just worthwhile. John from Huntsville, by the way, says, I thought the Big Rig would like Coca-Cola since a certain Alabama football coach that I will not mention loves Coca-Cola.
I actually love Dr. Pepper.
Okay. I don't know what to do with that. Okay, let's move on.
I probably lost points for that.
All right, number one, Triple Dipper, Trump trials and errors. So this is going on right now as we speak. I mean, I'm looking up on the two big screens on the wall here, and it's all they're talking about. And, you know, on the one hand, are we tired of it? Yeah. But on the other hand, this is legitimate news. There has never been a time in U.S. history when a former president of the United States, current candidate for president of the United States, has been tried in a criminal prosecution like this. In fact, I would go ahead and go one step further. There's never been anybody in the history of the world ever tried like this. They had to create what's known as a novel theory of law, where they created sort of a, you know, charge in order to get to another charge, which would normally not be tied together, one of which happens to be state, the other is federal, one of which really happens to be like a misdemeanor on paperwork, which creates the possibility of an illusion of having done something to benefit your campaign, which, oh, by the way, it happened after the campaign, and the chief witness is a convicted serial liar, disbarred attorney, who was talking about whether or not a porn star was telling the truth. Come on. But yet here we are. Now, questions abound as to what's going to happen. So where we are today, just so you know, in case you hadn't already followed it, where we are today is they've come back from basically a week off, the jury has. They've come back from a week off. During that time, yes, the judge and the attorneys had some time off. There was a little bit of angst and questioning in the part of the world as to why this is such, you know, why are we taking time off? Get this over with. On the other hand, though, I will tell you that I would bet that there are members of the legal teams on both sides who are glad to have some time to catch their breath. And I guarantee you they didn't sleep much during that time. I'm pretty sure they weren't doing a lot of grilling out. They weren't hanging out at the lake on Memorial Day. They were very likely polishing up their arguments, going over the evidence, reviewing the law, getting everything in order, preparing to come in and go to war because we're down to it. The last shots are going to be fired, maybe just today even. So here's where we are. Last week, the judge saw the conclusion of the evidence. The jury heard the final pieces of evidence and testimony that were going to be provided. My recollection is that the defense, Trump's team, did make a motion to dismiss the case, which I believe they're referring to is really called a motion for directed verdict. It's where the defense looks at it and goes, Your Honor, they have not met the burden. They have not proven beyond a reasonable doubt that any crimes committed, and certainly not to the point of being able to prosecute it. And they're basically saying, Judge, you can't send this to the jury. You should make a decision as a matter of law. They have not met the standard that would take it to the jury. That motion is pending right now. It has been deferred for the moment. The judge then had what's called a charge conference. The charge conference is where the judge is going to actually read the law. If it goes to the jury, the judge is going to actually read to the jury the standards of the law that they have to meet to find for or against the charges before them. And he's, and he, they have a charge conference because these are called jury charges. And there's literally a book called Pattern Jury Instructions that are the pre-approved. You can use these. Like if it's negligence, you can use these. If it's, you know, if it's manslaughter, you can use these. And so anyway, all these jury charges, some are pre-approved. And then there's others that are not pre-approved. And then there's some that may not apply that are exculpatory, and you have to decide whether they can be used. And so the judge is going to hear this, and both sides are going to bring out, Your Honor, we would like a pattern jury charges 1 through 13. We'd also like to submit 4 additional charges on the count of so-and-so that we believe are applicable to due to case law, yada, yada. And then there's arguments, and then they hear and they don't hear, and then the judge decides. The judge says, I'm going to be using these jury instructions, and he lists them. That's an appealable thing because charging the jury is huge. I mean, it looks boring, but if you're a juror and you're sitting there thinking, I got to convict him, but I got to prove what now? What do I have to say they proved did what? Then the last thing you're going to hear before you go into deliberations is the judge say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, if you find this, then you must find that. If you find this to your satisfaction, then you must convict on the count of so-and-so. And he'll read those out just like that. And then they go into deliberations. Well, right now, what they're doing today is all that stuff is done, and both sides are being given the opportunity for their closing arguments. Currently, the prosecution is still making its closing arguments. We were told the prosecution expected to go up to 4.5 hours. Holy smokes. 4.5 hours for closing arguments. I know it was a big freaking trial. By the way, could somebody please remind the world, this is a trial on misdemeanors. Misdemeanors. A trial on misdemeanors that lasted for weeks and for which the prosecution is going to have a 4.5 hour closing statement. Misdemeanors. Misdemeanors, more often than not, don't even require a 3 hour trial, if anything. Most of the time you plead. But since President Trump was certainly not going to plead guilty, misdemeanors. That's where we are. Oh, we're gonna try this case for 3 weeks on misdemeanors. How much energy has been spent? How many resources have been exhausted? How many staffers and police and Secret Service and for that matter, just out of pocket expenses from the Trump team to pay for lawyers? For friggin' misdemeanors. For the love of God. I don't know there's ever been a misdemeanor trial near as big as this one in the history of history. Just saying. Well, here we are. They're making their closing arguments. Now there's speculation as to what could happen. And I will say this. Democrats are apparently having a full-blown freakout right now. That's even the headline title for this article from Red State that came out this morning. Full-blown freakout. Democrats are having a panic attack over Joe Biden's electoral prospects. The article here basically makes the point that Biden has only led in 1 out of the last 8 major polls. Huh? Behind the scenes, Democrats are said to be freaking out, but the article makes the point, and here it is. What's really got Democrats losing their minds? It's not just that Biden is lagging in the polls due to his terrible tenure as a president. It's also that their lawfare gambit appears to be failing. I would agree. It says, the question arises, what would happen if Trump avoids a conviction in his New York criminal trial? Given the absurdity and weakness of DA Alvin Bragg's case, that is now a distinct possibility despite the far left judge's best efforts. And then it says, when the star witness against the defendant admits to grand larceny on the stand, things are not exactly going well. So what's the proposed outcome? What do we think is going to happen? Well, it's anybody's guess. But I'll tell you, there are several things on the table right now that could happen. It runs the gamut. And I am sure that there are bookies in Vegas right now that are laying odds. But you look at this whole thing, and you recognize, here's what's going to happen over the next few days. Judge Merchan is going to charge the jury maybe as early as tomorrow, because we're going to see prosecution make their closing arguments. We may see defense make their arguments today. The judge may say even stay late until we get done with that so we're not having to break in the middle of it, which I think would be reasonable. And then bring the jury back in first thing in the morning, charge the jury, and send them into deliberations, maybe. there's a couple things that could happen, but I'll give that the maybe. During all the time they're in deliberations, even if they deliberate for a week, which I don't think they will. I think they'll deliberate for 2 or 3 days, tops. Trump is going to be required to remain at the courthouse the whole time. He can't go out and do any campaigning. He can't leave to go anywhere. Why? Because if they get a note from the jury, what happens is the jury can get lost sometimes. They get lost in the weeds, or they need to see a piece of evidence, or they're not sure they understood that jury charge number 3 or whatever the case may be, and they send a written question out with the bailiff to the judge. The judge has to read the question in front of the parties, the prosecution and the defense. So Trump has to be present to know what the jury's asking. And then the judge sends them an answer. So all these things are happening right now. And I'll be honest with you, there's maybe 4 or 5 potential outcomes to this whole thing. And then on top of that, the freak out part is so evident because today, what did you see? If you were paying attention and if you had a chance to watch the news even for a minute, or social media, which is having a big time with it, the Democrat Biden campaign chose to hold a press conference across the street from the courthouse. Who does this? And who did they bring? Robert De Niro. And it was awful. And by the way, De Niro showed up wearing a mask. He's the only person in the entire crowd wearing an N95 surgeon's mask. What the heck? And then he walks up to the microphone, takes his mask off, and hands it to somebody, because apparently he doesn't think much of contagion if he's going to hand them his mask, and then begins to make a very rambling, incoherent, anti-Trump, he's a tyrant, he's going to rule the world, if he gets elected, he'll never leave, the country is going to fall apart. He went bananas. And the crowd was having none of it. Because, oh, by the way, you might be De Niro, but you're pretty much a zero in the eyes of the people who were there. It was one of those moments when you quickly realize, apparently, that his celebrity status means absolutely bupkis when he's stepping outside the lane of being an actor. And you know, there are very few that I just like choose to boycott. I'm not the huge cancel culture guy, but I don't care if I see another De Niro movie in my whole life. Awful. Stood there and just railed against a man who's on trial in what is obviously a trumped-up charge. But here's the thing. The fact that they did that is a clear indication that Democrats are worried about what's happening right now, and they were standing across from the courthouse, in my opinion, doing what they can to try and taint the jury pool and try to capture the message because they're losing. Losing big. Let's take a break right now. We'll do that. We'll come right back, and I'll tell you the different things that could happen if the jury gets the trial. Is the jury going to get the trial? That's a question, too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Thomas Mathens has texted back in. He says, regarding Trump's New York trial, he said, I judge that De Niro, a Biden surrogate, who, by the way, admitted he was a Biden surrogate. He even said, I'm working with the Biden campaign. His rant was to influence the jury and to show that Biden's new moments is that we need to stop Nazi Trump at all costs. Can the judge overrule the verdict? I pray for at least a hung jury and for the judge to be a human being. Great text. Let me go into that very thing right here. Here's a piece on Politico. Politico? Phil, did you go to Politico? I did. So, here's the possible outcomes. I mean, I guess I could have done this without the article from Politico, but I like to rattle paper. So there's a variety of different things that can happen right now. Keep in mind, Trump is facing 34 separate counts, except that each one's exactly the same because there was 34 checks that were written. So, okay, we got 34 separate counts, but if you find them not guilty on one, good luck getting it on any of them because unless you're going to prove that one check was written for something different than the other, trouble. But they have to prove that there were underlying crimes that then tie into the elevated crime. So the possibility exists that Trump could get convicted on all counts. That's possible. That's certainly possible. Convicted on all counts, which would be immediately appealable, obviously, but it would still be a conviction until such time as is overturned on appeal. Here's the other. He could be convicted on some counts, acquittal on the others. I mean, bottom line is the jury could find that Trump falsified some records, and yet they're all the same. They were written on two different checking accounts, but they were written on Trump accounts, personal accounts, actually. In that scenario, the jury is going to really just wind up having to convict Trump of some charges, acquit him of the others, but they're going to have to all unanimously agree on what that is. I think that's the least likely aspect. Then there's acquittal on all counts. Very possible. The jury may be looking at this, and yeah, it's a tough area for a guy like Trump to get a jury. But daggum. I mean, New Yorkers also don't like having the wool pulled over their eyes, right? Nobody likes to be called a fool and told to believe something that they can look at and go, that makes no sense. And I suspect that this jury has got at least some people on it that are like, this makes no sense whatsoever. In fact, you've got two lawyers on that jury. And if they're honest, they understand the law. I don't know if they're criminal offense attorneys or not, but they get it. They get the practice of law and the need to have a jury be proven something to be beyond a reasonable doubt. Then there's acquittal on all counts, just like what it sounds. It all goes away, every bit of it, at which point Trump walks free and everybody laughs and De Niro, you know, probably has a stroke and who knows. Can they get there? I don't know. I think one of the things that we could most likely expect is a hung jury. A hung jury, meaning the jury cannot find a way forward together unanimously. They just can't do it. And they send word to the judge that we can't do it, at which point the judge will probably send them back in and say, try harder. At which point they may still come back and go, we are at an impasse. We are not able to come to a unanimous verdict. And the judge would have no choice but to declare a mistrial. If that happens, prosecution could try the case again, but it's not likely to go to court anytime soon. In fact, with the resource intensiveness of this case, I would bet that they would say, we're done. The last one is what's known as a directed verdict, and that's the one that I'm still wondering what could happen. The judge hates Trump. It's obvious. And if he didn't hate him before the trial started, he hates him now. Trump has called him out even this morning, standing out in front of the courthouse talking about how corrupt and conflicted the particular judge we have now is. There's no way in the world Trump has endeared himself to this judge. That being said, there's no way in the world this judge watched the presentation of the evidence as we understand it and said, well, all this looks good to me. Now, the judge could take the cheap way out and say, I'm going to let the jury figure it out. I'm not going to be the guy. I'm not going to be the one that has to get doxxed. I'm not going to be the one that has to face all the social media backlash. But if he's a man, if he's going to prove that he's worth his salt, and if he believes that it wasn't proven, and he's a man who's worth his salt, then he can do what's called granting a directed verdict, meaning he could remove this from the jury. He could say, as a matter of law, the prosecution has not met its burden. They have not proven that the actual elements of a crime have taken place. If that happens, he directs the verdict. It never goes to a jury, and the trial is over. All right, more to come. Jay Towne calling in momentarily. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm in number one of the triple dipper. I'm calling it the Trump trials and errors. It's been something to watch, man. Not sure there's ever been a misdemeanor trial at this level. I just can't imagine the amount of resources thrown into trying to prove misdemeanors to get to some other form of a constructed version of a felony at the federal level when you're coming out of state. Go figure. I can't make sense of it. I'm an attorney and I can't make sense of it. So I'm bringing on somebody else who might be able to make sense of it. Jay Towne is a former prosecutor in Madison County. He's also been the United States Attorney for the Northern District of Alabama, appointed during the Trump administration. He's also, by the way, served for 12 years and retired at the rank of major as a judge advocate general in the U.S. Marine Corps. So let's bring him on. Jay Towne, how you doing?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me on. Busy day. You know, I kind of woke up with some anxiety today, and I'm not even in court, nor am I a defendant. So, I mean, it's just bad day that America is going through this right now, and what's going on in Manhattan is an absolute legal travesty.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know if you saw, and we'll get into the machinations of the trial itself here, but I don't know if you saw it or not, but there was a complete dog and pony show right across from the courthouse when Robert De Niro held a DNC press conference, which I think was just designed to taint the jury as best he could. But it was an awful thing, and I've never seen anything like it today.
You know, what's amazing to me, and I've always said this, it didn't matter if they were coming out in favor of my guy or gal or whoever it was, but why does anyone care what a Hollywood actor thinks about politics?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible to me that a bunch of people who have no original thought whatsoever when it comes to their chosen profession, they read other people's work at other people's direction and production and editing. Right? They edit out all of their mistakes so that they can make a movie and make money. And it's great. I love watching movies, right? I could watch Deadpool and Deadpool 2 over and over and over again, right? And just love it each time. But I don't care what Ryan Reynolds thinks about who should be president of the United States.
Yeah.
Right? In fact, it works against him when he comes out and runs his mouth. Now, Ryan Reynolds didn't do that, but I'm not going to be watching Goodfellas anytime soon, because I'm sick of Bob De Niro.
Yeah.
And it's just, to me, the fact that they would even trot him out there, because he's the quintessential New Yorker and blah, blah, but whatever. The guy pretended to be a mobbed up guy. He runs restaurants in Tribeca. I mean, you know, how tough do you got to be? Right? I mean, good for you.
You know what? And in my opinion, and I don't want to belabor the De Niro thing too much, but my opinion is, looking at the way that went down, that De Niro insisted that he needed to get out there and say something. That's the sense that I got, that he had this overinflated view of his own opinions, which meant absolutely bupkis to the crowd. They were shouting him down. But
and you know, and here's the thing, and you just made the point, Phil. You know who he lost his remarks to, his conversation, his messaging to, Mr. Quintessential New York? You know who he lost to? New Yorkers.
That's right.
Right? Not guys that have a building and a doorman, you know, in a penthouse suite down in Soho or Tribeca or wherever the hell he lives now, right, for 3 months out of the year, because I'm sure he gets a little, that thin blood of his gets a little chilly in the winter, right? But New Yorkers shouted him down. Real New Yorkers. Guys that are, you know, they work with their hands, right? At the end of the month, they got $400 in their account, and they're proud of themselves because they do, right? That's real New Yorkers. And they shouted him down.
Yep.
And I'm glad they did.
Yeah. It was actually wound up being good times to watch it. But let me ask you this, Jay. All right, in your experience, what we're looking at right now is the closing moments of what I think may be the largest, most, you know, labor intensive, resource intensive misdemeanor trial in the history of the United States jurisprudence system. But that being said, we're at closing arguments. Mm-hmm. I think there's still a question. Not much of one, but a question whether the judge would go to, I guess it's still called a directed verdict. I mean, is that a possibility in your opinion? Do you see it going to the jury? I anticipate that it will, but what do you think?
Well, if this was a real judge, he would have dismissed this case long ago. If this was a real judge, he would have not let in all of the hearsay and inadmissible prejudicial 403 evidence that he let in. If this was a real judge, he would have moved for a directed verdict when the motion came after the state case, if this was a real judge.
There you go. If it was a real judge. So what you're saying is you think it's going to a jury. So, all right, it goes to a jury as early as tomorrow. But, all right, so here's my next question for you. We're hearing, and I don't know how long it's going to last, prosecution's coming back from a break to continue their pretty extensive
three
closing
more hours,
arguments.
Phil.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, like 4.5 to 5 hours for closing arguments. I mean, I've heard some long closing arguments. I've heard some good closing arguments. I've never heard a lot of long, good closing arguments. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know that they exist. I had a, you know, there was a police officer, a Huntsville police officer named Daniel Gold, who was shot and killed in the line of duty in 2005 by a man named Benito Alboron, thrice removed illegal immigrant that was here in Huntsville, killed Daniel at point blank range. And at the time, I haven't kept up since, but it was the longest jury trial in the history of the state of Alabama. Wow. It was for a criminal case, right? So it was about 6 weeks long. Voir dire went from, 9 o'clock in the morning till sometimes midnight. And we got a jury sat. We had 300 people in the Vanira, the jury pool. And we got, I think it ended up being 16 or 17 people sat so that we could start openings on that following Monday. But we worked our tails off. And so did Judge Karen Hall. And I was with Rob Broussard, our current district attorney now. He's the deputy DA at the time. Say all that to say this. 5 weeks of packed every day, sometimes ending at 7 at night, evidence. 5 weeks. My closing argument was an hour and a half long.
There you go.
Now, Judge Mershon has packed 2 weeks of evidence into 6 weeks of trial, right?
Yeah.
And he's letting the prosecutors go on for 5 hours. Now, that's to Trump's advantage because they stopped listening 20 minutes ago. And frankly, Todd Blanche could have cut a half an hour off of his. But now you're going to follow up a 2.5 hour closing with 5 hours, right? And you're proving two misdemeanors. That's really what this is.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, I could prove the case to a jury in a shorter amount of time than it takes them to just close this case, right? So it is amazing to me how bad this prosecution has been. From the fact that they even presented it to a grand jury all the way up into this moment right now. And Steinglass is an experienced guy. I'm not suggesting that he doesn't have any chops, but and we were talking about this before we went on, he just doesn't have a lot of material, unlike
yeah.
Alvin Bragg's suits, right?
Right. Let me ask you. You're sitting there, you're watching all this, it's going to the jury. No one's gonna take a plea on this one. There's no way in the world because the stakes are too high. So it's going to the jury, and now we're looking at acquittal, partial acquittal, conviction, or even a hung jury. What do you think? We got two lawyers on the jury.
We do, and remember, lawyers are always the smartest lawyers in the room, and those two are not going to be any different. And I just feel like they've been given license to say the state has not met its burden.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have a hard time going back to their partners, neither one of these two are criminal lawyers, going back to their partners and saying, yes, I believed every word that Michael Cohen said. And I believe they proved their case beyond a reasonable doubt. No serious criminal justice expert, has come out and said this is a lockdown case, slam dunks. I think the best the state can hope for at this point is a hung jury. If they come back quickly, and it'll be an acquittal. If it's Friday afternoon and they still don't have a verdict, it's going to be a hung jury.
So you get a hung jury on this one. Do you try it again, or do you say we tried our best shot?
If they can't try it in October, they probably don't try it again because it doesn't have the impact that Alvin Bragg wants to have.
There you go. Well, yep. Lawfare is what it is, right? All's fair in love and war
apparently.
And lawfare, apparently. But Well, and I guess the last closing statement, this is more political, is apparently the President of the United States is going to make a comment from the White House about whatever the outcome of the trial is. Some say it's because he wants to reassure people that he's accepted whatever the verdict is and we all need to move forward regardless of how you feel. I get that. Somehow I don't think that's what it's going to be. I think it's going to be he's hoping for a victory lap or he's going to call the system of justice broken. What do you think?
It's a little weird to call your shot here, right? This is not a press conference thing.
It's
he
not.
Could be asked it, but to kind of call your shot ahead of time. But again, look, this is Biden. He might say he's going to do that, hoping that, it takes guts to do that. You have my word as a Biden. And then they just don't do it. Right. So, I don't believe a word that is coming out of that administration's mouth, certainly not from the press secretary.
Then again, he might get lost on the way to the microphone and we'll never hear it. So who knows?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right.
So,
well,
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
Yeah, brother, we appreciate you. Your insights are always classic. And Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, we'll have you on again soon. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Semper Fi. All right. Listen, we're going to take a break right now, but that was good commentary. And that's a guy who, by the way, has been in the trenches. He knows what it means to be a federal prosecutor. He knows what it means to be a state prosecutor. And we're looking at a case right now where somebody's trying to be both at one time. So daggum. We'll talk about it more as the situation develops. And if there's any breaking news today, we'll let you know. But for right now, let's take a break. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making it cool to be a conservative. Let me just jump on a couple of quick text messages, and I'll go straight to the phones after that. Jeremy from Huntsville says, is this even possible? He said, I heard the jury was given instructions that the defendant's intent could justify guilty without a unanimous agreement. No, I don't think so. I do not. I don't know where you heard that, Jeremy. If you see something that's official on that, let me know. But I do not believe it can work that way. There's that. I did see the Babylon Bee saying something like that a minute ago. So maybe that's what you saw. Make sure it wasn't the Babylon Bee. Tom from Tanner says, if the jury's hung, I think they'll try again ASAP. One, because they'll gag him again. Two, because they'll take him off the campaign trail longer. Three, because they'll make him pay for lawyers instead of contributing to the campaign. No doubt in my mind they'll try him again. Okay. But they cannot, by the way, just expedite and get it like, hey, we'll be back next week, Judge. They can't do that. It would be months. And unless they can get that thing lined up to be back in line like before the campaign, I agree with Jay Towne. I think they'll let it go. Devin from Brown. By the way, it's also Tom. If they get a hung jury, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the prosecution. Do they want to go through that again? I don't know. Devin from Brownsboro says, a good friend of mine who lives in Manhattan told me yesterday that all the Trump trial is doing is helping them and their fellow New Yorkers see more clearly the corruption and the two-tiered system that we have today. He also told me he's never seen so much support for a Republican candidate since he moved there 10 years ago. And he says, Trump McQueen for 2020. That's very cool. By the way, he asked when the next podcast is being released. It'll be released on Wednesday. It's coming out Wednesday. The Right Philosophy comes out on Wednesday. Last one for the phones. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I agree with everything Jay Towne said. He is currently tied for first place with Big Rig. Awesome. All right. Let me jump on the phones there. That's Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing real well after I got through chasing all the tornadoes through Kentucky there Sunday.
Yeah, man, you guys had a boatload. We had some serious weather down here, kept us awake part of the night, but it wasn't like what y'all had.
We went Jeep riding to Kentucky Lake.
Oh, did you really? So you were out in it?
Yes. Dodging trees.
You're a glutton for punishment, dude. Got cows flying by and everything, right?
Pretty much.
Wow. What do you think about this Trump trial, and what do you think about Robert De Niro doing his press conference today?
Well, you know, the thing about it is, Phil, the fix is in. If a mafia, you know, can change a trial and buy off judges and prosecutors and threaten juries and stuff and everything, what can the American government do with all the spooks and everything that's, you know, that come out against Trump? You know, we know the deep state is all against him, stuff, basically, all the higher-ups, basically. You got a judge that's tainted because of his daughter, and you got a prosecutor that's tainted because of all the things that he said, and then trying to do this, you know, like I say, it's like working a Rubik's Cube, trying to get a conviction out of this on something that doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
And then you have another prosecutor that's with the DOJ that's in mixed with this. If you tell me that this has not got involvement with the government, I'll tell you that Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide all by himself.
Well, he did. That's exactly what happened. Don't you know?
Yeah.
That's the way that works. Right. Security cameras went out, and he decided to give up the ghost, just like that.
Yeah. And the guards fell asleep that were, you know, temporary guards and stuff. If they can get to Jeffrey Epstein in the middle of a prison, I believe they can threaten jurors. You know, you got New York for one thing, and these people got to live with their neighbors thinking, you know, well, you're the one who acquitted Trump, you know, and stuff. And they know who all these people are, and it's all out there.
They do, but, you know, here's the thing. In fact, we had a texter a minute ago that just said it, that he's got friends in Manhattan that are saying that they've never seen so much support coming out for a Republican because the Trump trial has really got Manhattan, like, just basically stood on edge. They're all sick of it. They don't like what they're seeing. I think this could wind up backfiring on them, Jeff.
I don't know. People in Chicago are sick of seeing people get murdered, but they keep electing the same people, too. So, you know, go figure that, too, you know, is what I mean. I think the fix is in. I think this jury has been, people have gone to get to these people and say, you know, hey, you know, we got the drop on your family. We got the drop on you. Mm-hmm. Anything incriminating about you? If a mafia boss can do this, what can the government do?
Well, here's the thing.
You know they've got agents.
Here's the thing, though, man, and I only got it like 30 seconds before the break comes on, but just so you know when the music starts playing. But every one of them, they don't have to worry about any finances. It can't be no bribes on it because every one of them is going to have a book deal. You know they are. They're all going to make the circuit, and they're going to have a book deal, and they can say whatever they want to and get printed and get a million-dollar advance on their book. I don't know. We'll wind up seeing how it goes, but it's going to be something.
What percentage do you think that they've been threatened? One to 0 to 100.
Well, you know, if the judge had been playing the game right and sequestered them like he should have, I'd say zero. But the reality is maybe some. Hey, bro, music is playing. Be careful on the road. All right.
Have a good one, Phil.
We'll see you, buddy. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.